Stand up, Nuggets Nation. Denver Sports presents the Mile High Hoops Podcast with Zach Bye. Denver Sports is your home for the most Nuggets content. Now here's your host, Zach Bye.
What is up and welcome to another edition of the Mile High Hoops Podcast. As always, I am your host, Zach Bye. And as always, I appreciate you spending a sliver of your busy day with me right here on the podcast. Reacting to the absolute home stretch of the NBA season. The Denver Nuggets, at the time of recording, it is Tuesday afternoon between 1 and 2 o'clock, and the Nuggets have 4 games left in the season. Guys, you don't even need all your fingers to count the amount of games left. And then we take that etch-a-sketch that I've talked about in the past, we shake it, and we get a blank slate as we head into the NBA playoffs. Tonight, and by the way, I will warn you right out of the gate, we are not going to spend a lot of time here today. It's going to be one of the shortest episodes in a while. A couple reasons. But the main one is that my 2-year-old daughter, Mia, is with me, physically right next to me here. If you're listening on audio, you can't see her. If you're looking at the video on Twitter or on YouTube, you can't see her either, but you may if she decides to pop into the picture. Extenuating circumstances at home that I'm not going to waste your time with. But that being said, I have my 2-year-old daughter with me here at work. So we're going to keep it short and sweet. All right. Arguably, Wednesday night could be the biggest game of the Nuggets season. Now, we've said this a number of times throughout the year, and every time it's been true. All right. But it's moving goalposts within the season. And we could see a scenario on Wednesday night where the number one seed hangs in the balance in a game between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Denver Nuggets. Okay, the Nuggets are going to play in Utah, all right, on Tuesday night, tonight. Okay, so by the time you're hearing this, you may have already watched the game, and hopefully you're reacting to a Denver Nuggets victory. The Utah Jazz are a shell of themselves. I believe that they are trying to lose. They have injuries up and down their roster. A lot of their mainstays will not play. All-star Lauri Markkanen, he's ruled out. John Collins, ruled out. Jordan Clarkson has been ruled out. So the Denver Nuggets should absolutely win this basketball game if they give an ounce of effort. Like, if Jokic plays in this game, which he's going to, Nuggets should win, all right? If they even bring half of the requisite competitive energy, they're going to win in Salt Lake. But I'm not going to ignore the dynamic of Salt Lake, all right? And I know this is on some of your guys' radar. Some, it might not be. Denver has lost 6 straight games in Salt Lake City to the Utah Jazz. And in the Michael Malone era, they've played 15 times in Utah. I can't believe this is true. You know what their record is in the Michael Malone era in Salt Lake City? In 15 games, 1-14. You cannot make that up. I can't sit here and point to one particular thing as an explanation why. Utah, at the start of this run, and maybe even most of the way through, has been a good team. That team has been basically dismantled. Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, etc. So I can't point to anything why. Even if you remember the title season, the Denver Nuggets actually opened up in Utah and lost outright in a game that they were just roundly beat from what I remember start to finish. I didn't go back and look at it. This is just off memory. So it's kind of a fascinating dynamic, the struggles in Utah. But here's the other dynamic that's at play here. Utah has lost 12 consecutive games. Guys, that is the third longest streak in the history of that franchise. All right? And here, honey. And so you have two of these funny dynamics coming clashing. You have a team that has the third longest losing streak in their franchise history, 12 in a row, but the Nuggets can't win there. So something has to give. It's like the opposite of the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. It's like a team that can't win in Salt Lake, but they're the reigning champs against a team that hasn't won a game in like a month in Utah. So a funny little dynamic, but the Nuggets, to make Wednesday night relevant, they actually have to win this game tonight. All right. And if they win, and by the way, Minnesota is on the first night of a back-to-back as well, hosting a really bad Washington Wizards team. So there's not some like distinct advantage either way. So, yeah, here we go. I'm expecting them to win the game, and then Wednesday night is going to matter a lot, all right? And if it were up to me, I would not play Jamal Murray tonight in order to have him full strength on Wednesday and also not play in a back-to-back. And I would also not play Aaron Gordon for the same exact reason. Wednesday night's more important. Don't play a second night of a back-to-back. You got four games left in the year. Obviously, the last back-to-back with guys who have been banged up against an inept Utah team. You can go win that game without Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray. All right. And then Wednesday night's going to matter a lot. Here's what you need to know, basically. If Denver goes 4-0 to finish the season, they will be the number one seed. You don't need a calculator to do that. Go 4-0, and then you finish the season against the San Antonio team, who I don't think will play Victor Wembanyama, and then you're facing a Memphis team that will be actively trying to lose as well. So basically, there should be one competitive game in these last four games, and that is on Wednesday night against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Just have to find a way to beat Utah in Utah, and then win at home. And then win at home, all right? Where the Denver Nuggets this season are, they've played 40 games at home, okay? They're 32-8, all right? They're 32-8. And I will be at that game. If they win tonight in Utah, I will be at that game tomorrow night, and then we can circle back and talk about it on Thursday. Here on the podcast, and what the atmosphere was like, and what could be a Western Conference preview. All right. And we have discourse going on at our radio station. I'm being called out because I've basically, after watching the Phoenix game two weeks ago, Wednesday now, and then on Friday against the same Minnesota Timberwolves team in an absolute beatdown of Denver, I just shifted gears and just stopped worrying about the number one pick. And that doesn't have to do with like fear. It has to do with confidence that if they are a top three seed, I'm okay. I think everything's going to be fine. But if they over prioritize a number one seed, and this is where the discourse is coming, that like, oh, you can't live in your fears. You got to play your dudes. I don't think you need to play your dudes in Salt Lake City tonight. I don't. And if there was a setback to either Aaron Gordon and Jamal Murray, nothing matters here. You could get beat in the first round if something happened to Jamal Murray. All right. That probably wouldn't happen, but you could. Like that lives within reality. And we talked about that a week ago on last Tuesday's episode. If you missed it, looking at the scope of outcomes, the spectrum or rather of outcomes. And if they're not healthy, I mean, we waited 2 years for this team to get healthy. 2 years. And then the first year they got healthy, they went and won the title. All right. And I am not going to let four games left in the season distract me from what this team looks like in the playoffs. So we'll see how they handle it. Mike Malone has kind of said one thing and done the other, said we only worried about, you know, health, but then, you know, has Jokic in a game down like 16 with 2 minutes left. Like, what are we doing? So that's how coaches are. So we will see what we are in store for over the next two nights. We're coming off of a game where Denver absolutely mollywopped the Atlanta Hawks. And I'm not going to spend too much time on what happened in that game, but I do want to highlight just a couple, extract a couple things that happened in that game and talk about it from a big picture standpoint before we get out of here. One, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is shooting the piss out of the basketball, okay? And you look at the last four games here of the season, KCP went 6 of 9 from three in the Atlanta game. He went 4 of 7 from three in the Clippers game. Struggled against San Antonio, went 1 for 5 and struggled from the floor, 1 for 8. But then you go back to the last game in March against Cleveland, and he went 6 for 9 from three as well. So in the last four games, you're talking about 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 threes in the last four games, including a game that has a stinker in it. So think about how hot this guy is going down the stretch into the playoffs. I've talked about this on the radio. I forget whether I've talked about it on the podcast, but he is a big part of the reason why this works. To the degree of, I think if something happened to KCP, I don't think this team can win a championship. That's how, and you could argue he's the fourth or fifth, depending on who you are, between him and maybe Michael Porter Jr., that he's the fourth or fifth most important Denver Nuggets starter. But there's such a razor-thin margin with the lack of depth from the team, that I think he's that essential to a title run. And with no Bruce Brown this year, I think if KCP was out of the picture, it would change everything for me. So thankful to have him. He has been the perfect fit for 2 years, and I think they're talking behind the scenes about a new contract for him, because this is it for him in Denver. All right? And wouldn't it be legendary if he signs a 2-year contract and they won titles both years with KCP? That's what I think is going to happen. And when he was on the court last week doing the post-game interview that like goes out over the arena's audio system, he said, Nuggets for life. And I don't think you say that unless you're gaining positive ground behind the scenes with his agent and Calvin Booth and their sort of number crunchers from a contractual standpoint. And you need those now more than ever with the way that this new CBA is and the aprons are working and all that. Love to see Michael Porter Jr. Have a big night, 7 of 12 from the floor against Atlanta, made 4 threes for 20 points. The more positive layered juju he can have going into the NBA playoffs with everything that he's got going on in his life is just the better. And that this guy had been in a slump for quite a while, and I think you're seeing him fully out of it. Doesn't mean it's perfect. There was a stinker against the Clippers in there, but you look at in the last, say, 3 weeks, how many times he's made 3 threes or more in a game. It's more often than not, and I just absolutely love to see that. And then the bench, I don't know. I know it's not as sustainable as 58 points, because that's what happened on Saturday. The Denver Nuggets bench put together 58 points. Zeke Nnaji had 5. Hunter Tyson had 2. Peyton Watson had 13. Justin Holiday had 8. Reggie Jackson was great with 18. And just having Reggie slotted back in his role, it's so massive. And this is one of these things, I forget if I've talked about it on the podcast or the radio, because I talk for 4 hours a day on the radio and I can just get jumbled. I do not think this bench is going to be as much of an issue as a lot of Nuggets Nation has thought of throughout the season, with the narrowed minutes and the narrowed focus for guys like Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, and Reggie in his more established role. Okay, that's where I think the every night bench is going to be. And don't be surprised if Justin Holiday plays as much in the postseason as he not just as much, because you look at Saturday, play 24 minutes. I'm not talking about that. But don't be surprised if Justin Holiday is playing more regularly that you might have thought back in December, just because his floor is higher than someone like Peyton Watson's, I think, on a night-to-night basis. And Malone just has historical track record of trusting veterans with high floors in the playoffs. So I wanted to pass that along as well. For guys like Zeke Nnaji, Julian Strother, Jalen Pickett, I don't think we're going to see those guys. I don't think we're going to see them. Not on a night-to-night basis in competitive minutes anyway. Okay, we're going to keep it there for now. Mia, do you want to come sit with Daddy for a second? You want to show him who you are? Come here, baby. Mia, come here. Come here. Come say hi. No? Okay. She's got her feet crossed, and she's looking at me like, no, I'm good. I'm going to read my Frozen book. Okay. Works for me. All right. We will see what happens in Salt Lake, all right, on Tuesday night. And then we'll turn the page to Wednesday. And that'll be a biggie. I will be there. And whatever happens on Tuesday tonight in Salt Lake and on Wednesday night against the Minnesota Timberwolves, we'll be back here on Thursday talking about it on the Mile High Hoops podcast.